you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and put your hands together with us. From the rising of the sun to when it sets,
I will give you praise.
And in every circumstance, so
I will give you praise. I know I've got nothing to fear when your love is holding me. I'll give you all of this.
Come on!
You are so good to me. With everything I have, I give you praise. You're better than life to me. With everything Lion of Judah.
Everybody sing with me. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. A broken heart's declare his praise.
Bow.
Hallelujah. I said, who could stop the Lord Almighty? Gentlemen, I have a ring on my mic. If you could fix that for me, I'd appreciate it. I said, who could stop the Lord Almighty? I said, who could stop the Lord Almighty? Nobody can stop my Savior, amen. Sing it with me. Sing with me. Who can stop the Lord? Here we go. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Neighbors, we would overflow on the people that we work with. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus.
Fire. You provide the fire.
the Spirit.
You command the Spirit.
Come on. And I will open up. We got to sing it again. Sing, you provide the fire. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. And I will open up inside.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Oh, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Come on, sing it.
Oh, fill me up,
we need
God.
You to fill us.
Fill me up, God.
Come on. Sing it again. Fill me up. Come on and fill me up. Yes, fill us up, God. We need you to fill us. Sing it one more time. I need you. I need you to fill me. Yes. Come on and fill us up. God. Yes, Lord.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
You provide the fire. Come on. And I'll provide the sacrifice. Yeah, come on and sing it. You provide the Spirit. Come on.
And I will open up inside.
Oh, we gotta sing it again. You provide the fire.
You provide the fire.
Oh, I'll provide.
I'll provide the sacrifice.
Oh, you provide the Spirit. Listen to this. I remember when the prophet was going before Baal, and all of Baal's followers and all of Baal's prophets, they said, hey, let's put the two gods to a test. And there had been a famine in the land. And Elijah built an altar, and he went above and beyond to make sure that there was nothing that would leave any question to who God was. They poured water and drowned things and built a ditch around it, and it was full of water. And he gave, if you could pardon the expression, he gave those fools a chance to monkey around, fool around, play their games. And you know what? The world's like that today. They'll play their games. They'll fool around. They'll fool in things that are so against what God has for us. That you know, I just got to believe that God just sits there and he gets tired of what goes on. I think that even sometimes we, the church, do that. And I think that honestly God goes, hold up just a minute. I'll provide the fire if you look to me. And all you have to do is set up the sacrifice. I want to tell you what, that this morning, the sacrifice is that unblemished worship. It's whatever is trying to come against allowing the Spirit of God to come into this place. At this moment of time, it's that place where we go, okay, God, I forget about everything else. I forget about what's making noise. I forget about what's distracting me. God, I'm going to provide you the sacrifice. I'm going to lay here on the altar. And the prophet looked out and he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. I'm telling you what, when I begin to see a cloud about the size of a man's hand that's off in the distance, I know that my God is coming. I know that He's coming. And the Bible says that that cloud came and lightning struck and fire consumed up the altar and everything. I want to tell you what, it burned up rocks. It burned up rocks. And that's how powerful our God is. So this morning when you sing, "You provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice," you need to remember that our part is to provide the sacrifice. So I'm going to encourage whatever distraction is happening, and there's been a lot already, that we throw them aside and we say, "God, it's just me and you. I'm by myself with you." We could be in a room full of thousands of people, but you come to a place where it's just you and God. Let's sing it.
You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice.
Come on, you provide the
Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And I will open up inside.
Sing it one more time. You provide the fire.
You provide the fire.
Oh, I see the cloud are coming. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Oh, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Filled up till you overflow. You want to be filled up until you pour out on somebody next to you. Come on, sing it with me. Ready? Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Come on, church, sing.
Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over.
Sing it again.
Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run.
Sing it.
Fill me up till I.
Come on, church.
I want to run over.
Yes, amen.
I want to run over.
Sing it again.
Fill me up till I overflow.
Yes, I want to
run over.
I want to run over.
I
want
to run
over.
Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over.
is.
Awesome.
I want you to know he's my provider.
He's mighty.
Providing.
Provider.
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 He's awesome. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
I gotta say it again. He is a provider.
Provider.
I said he is your provider.
Provider.
You know he's got your needs in his head. Cause he's awesome. You to know he's
awesome.
I gotta sing it again. He's a deliverer.
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 He's come to
deliverer.
Set you free this morning.
Deliverer.
Cause he is
awesome.
You know he is. Yes, he's
awesome.
My God is great. He's great. From the rain, sing it again, my God.
God is awesome.
Come on. He's moving mountains. He keeps you in the valley. He hides you. One more time, I gotta say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on, do you hear what you're singing? Is your God awesome this morning? I said, is your God awesome this morning? I don't know about you, my God's not some weak little peon. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing he cannot accomplish. There's nothing he can't do. He's my Savior. He's my Deliverer. He's my healer. He's my soon coming king. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my counselor. He is Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is and was and is to come. I give glory. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You are awesome, oh God. You are awesome.
I want you to know he's a great God.
He's great.
He's great.
You know he's great.
He's great.
I said he's great.
He's great. Hallelujah. God, I pray in the name of Jesus this morning that we'll have revelation knowledge that you are not a man, that you are not some theology or just philosophy, but you truly are who you say you are. God, there's nothing you can't do this morning. No matter what trial or tribulation is represented in the room, we know that, God, you are able to decimate it. You are able to overcome it. You are able to destroy it. Lord, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We have been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We stand here, God, wrapped in your love, wrapped in your power, wrapped in your peace, and we refuse to be moved, God, because we have you on our side. So Jesus, today we give you the glory. Come on, can you give God a shout this morning? I said, can you? Come on now, come on, give God a shout this morning. You can do better. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. My God is awesome. Yeah, sing it now. God, I just love you so much. I love you, Father, that we don't need to come to a church and be drolsome and dull and dead. But God, we can shout and sing. We can dance, oh God, because we aren't worshiping a ceiling or a wall or a religion. But we're serving and worshiping the living Jesus who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. God, I thank you that you look to and fro who will worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you stopped here this morning. Fill this room with the more anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, we want more. Fill us up with more of your presence and your power, Father, so we can do the work of the ministry and see this region change for the glory of God. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. Oh, God, bring us that revelation knowledge, literally in the presence of God himself. Lord, overwhelm us, I pray. Lord, those that are struggling, overwhelm them, God. Let them sense the very power of heaven in their life, that they will not feel weak, but though they are strong through you. God, we give you the praise and the honor and all the glory. For you alone, my dad, deserve all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody declaring it shouted. I said everybody declaring victory shouted. Everyone shouting, I'm a conqueror, shouted. I love you. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome three or four folks. Let them know that you love Jesus today. Come on, don't sit down. Get up and go find somebody you don't know. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we get 'em. Why we do it? Why we do it?
I do it for the turn up.
That the Father's love for you is unconditional. And we got love if this is you, this is true. Firm.
What if we're in for thousand years? Not a love, not a love, not a love. What if we woke up in tomorrow? Everyone was gone. Tell me.
Tabernacle. I'm Pastor Banfield, and I'm here just to let you know that we have a men's ministry to empower men to their fullest and what God wants them to do. We meet every Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here in the Transformer Room at the church. If you do have a friend, both of you come together and enjoy the fun we have in studying the Word of God. The Word of God will transform your life and make a complete difference in the outlook you have for the future. So remember, men's ministry is Thursday night at 7 o'clock, right here in the Transformer Room at church.
Meet the Shuttlesworths.
The God that I serve is the only true and living God, and His name is Jehovah.
He left heaven, came to this earth, just to die for me, and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the B-I-B-L-E and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power in your body. Hallelujah. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
The Shuttlesworths have been doing this for generations, and they are known from all around the world. And now, they are coming to you. Join us for the Shuttlesworths Revival, September 13th through the 17th at Grove Street Park from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Join us and get ready for a revival.
Praise the Lord. We're taking over Grove Street Park over there in September. It's going to be awesome. I don't know about you. I love the fact that we can go in there with the gospel. You see, we've been talking about the power of seed. Last year, we planted seeds. We've been planting, I think, twice in Hawthorne Court. We planted more seeds this last year on the south side. And I'm believing God that this year we're going to take over as we bring the power of the Holy Spirit to where? Grove Park in September. You know what's really neat is this is the very first time this Shuttlesworth thing has ever been done. It's going to be amazing. The mother, who's in her, I believe, mid-80s, is going to be here to celebrate her children and grandchildren ministering at the same time. So you don't want to miss even one moment, and you want to start inviting people. You know, we're starting this week is we start this week by doing the feeding program down in Elmira. And I want to challenge you down into the different parks. We're going to be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday starting at 11:30. If you're not doing anything or you want to just fill your lunch hour with, instead of people gossiping, you can fill it with sharing Jesus and praying for folks, you can come on out at 11:30. If you get on the net, you'll see where we're going to be each day. We feed, we clothe, we encourage, we pray, we lead people to Jesus. What a great opportunity to truly make a difference and impact in our community. Amen. So this is what we do. We are not an internal church. We are an external church. We believe you come here to get filled up, not to get all satisfied and say, well, thank you, Jesus, for the oochie-goochies. Now it's just time to keep it myself. No, time to give it away. Turn to someone and say, you get it? To give it away. Amen. Talking about the anointing. So today we're excited. If you're a guest in the house, we're not going to embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest in the house, we'd love to welcome you. If you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you. If you'll raise your hand, we're just going to have somebody come and bring a gift. The young lady in the back. Very good. Right there, young man in the front. Young lady in the front. Very good over here. Where? Anybody else? Yep, they're coming your way. So keep your hands up, please. There we go. Back row. Very good. Oh, right back there. Folks, how are you? Glad you're here. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I've been praying for organic growth. Does anybody know what that is? When the seeds hit the ground, you don't know how they grow, but they do. We're going to hit that verse a little bit later. But here we are. We've been planting seeds in our community for 18 years. How many of you remember, and there are a group that were here from the beginning, you remember 18 years ago, we used to be at the mall passing out cassette tapes in the middle of the mall. How many of you remember that? Is there anybody in the room that remembers that? Maybe you helped with that? That was 18 years ago. Nobody wants to admit being here that long. Glory to God. We've been in every festival, every parade in 18 years. We've been at the county fair. One year we couldn't even afford the county fair, and the county said, what do you mean? You have to be here. You're the only church that usually comes. We'll pay for your table. The county actually paid for our table that year. And this year, man, we're going to be in the county fair. We're all over the place sharing the love of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus didn't come and sit and save. He came to seek and to save. So it's time to get off your hiney. Turn to someone and say, get off your hiney. And do something for the Lord. Amen? That means we got to go where the people are. They're not driving by the church saying, oh my goodness, I can't wait to go there. They're driving by the church like one guy. Where is he? One guy drove by and he thought we were an auction house. Came in here, gave his heart to Jesus. He's one of our head deacons. Glory to God. It's exciting to recognize what God can do in a life. We also want to welcome all those watching by live stream. I know there are people from Florida watching by live stream. I know there are people literally all over the United States that tell us they're watching and all over the world. Can we give our live stream family a big hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for watching. We love you. You are part of our family. I had a comment this morning already from live stream. The anointing was so strong in the early service. With the word, one lady said, I literally felt the anointing come through my computer, and I got up and danced with my child who was sick. Amen, right there in the house. Another lady said, the anointing was so strong, she'd been dealing with cancer. She said, I know this won't kill me, and I'm just going to get that spirit of fear off me. And so it's a powerful thing to recognize. The anointing is quick and powerful. That anointing is tangible, releasable. And today you're in the presence of the Lord where the anointing is here to make you free. Amen? I said amen. Praise the Lord. This is my dear wife, Rhonda, and she's pretty and she's very young and we love her.
At this time, we're entering into our time of tithes and offering. And normally when we talk about tithes and offerings, we talk about stewardship and blessing. But this morning, I want to talk about a matter of the heart. If we are called, according to the word of God, to tithe, which is 10% of our income, and that as we have learned and heard, the word of God says that he is the owner of all things and that we are required to be good stewards of that, then this word that he says, those aren't mere words. He is requiring a response, a simple matter of obedience from the heart. The word of God requires a response. Maybe today you have never tithed before. You have never given according to the word of God. He gave us this word, and it says, if you love me, you'll obey my word. You see, this word requires a response from our heart. It's about going to another level of relationship with God. It's not about a book that sits on the shelf. It's about our heart in a relationship towards God. So when we say something to our children or our friends or even our employees, and we say, go to the plaza and I will meet you there. Are those words we just want put on a shelf that just sound good? We are expecting a response from the words that we spoke. It is the same with God's word. It's not just about hearing it. The word is about responding as a simple matter of our heart in obedience and relationship to God. So as we give this morning, maybe you have never given your tithe before. Let's this morning respond to the word of God. Respond in a simple matter of obedience from our heart to God's holy word. And then when we do, we can quote Deuteronomy 28 that talks about all of the blessings that God will bring. So if you're ready to respond to the word of God this morning, stand to your feet and we'll repeat our supernatural declaration. It is simply the word of God. Repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and respond this morning and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and respond right along with us.
Hallelujah. What a great day, isn't it? I said, what a great day, isn't it? Are you out there? Hello! I know it's a little sparse. We're in the summer season. You need to fill those seats. Turn to someone and say, you got to fill your seats. That's right. This is the time guests will start coming to the house of the Lord. So I want to encourage you to start bringing guests. Good to see you, man. It's time to bring guests to the house of the Lord. Hi, honey. You plan on coming to church today. It's nice. Good to have you. She wanders. What are you going to do? She gets lost in Corning, and that's where she grew up. Glory to God. So, today's a great day because I love preaching the word of the Lord. Yesterday, I was in a service, and I was preaching out of town, and I was part of a conference, and one of the speakers actually stood up and said that it is okay to commit suicide. And I sat back, and I went, oh, my goodness, he didn't just say that, did he? And it blows me away how many people don't know the word. And it is so dangerous because the word of God is what you and I have to base our belief system on. We don't have the right to deduce or try to recollect our own design or desire. We have got to know the word of God, for it's the word of God that makes us free. Can I hear an amen? This is the year of. This is the year of. I can hear Sister Pastor Andrea over there. Kingdom seed. Kingdom seed. I love it. Matthew chapter 6 makes a declaration that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many believers don't understand the kingdom? When we don't understand the kingdom, we wonder why we don't have all these things added to us. You see, we are dual citizens. We are people that are not just on this planet living, but we're also people that are part of the kingdom of God. If you're saved, shout, I am. I said, if you're saved, shout, I am. If you're born again, you are a child of the living God. Therefore, we live in the kingdom of God, and our lives are to be governed by God's kingdom, not by this earth's system. Many of us, the trouble and trial is, and the reality, we have lived on this planet for so long, we've gotten saved, some of us late in life, that we've lived in the world system so long that when it comes time to actually apply the word of God, to start living in kingdom principles, we struggle. But God says that it's time to renew our minds. Can I hear an amen? It's time to get the word in you, the seed in you, so that we can grow and mature and start believing that God's word is true. One of the number one principles of kingdom is seed. Everything you need is in the... I said everything you need is in the... Now you wonder why I have you say that every single week. You say, well, maybe you're trying to brainwash me. Yes, I am. I am trying to wash your brain with the word of God. I want you to believe God's word above all situations in your life. I want you to believe God's word above what anybody says, any circumstance you're going through. I want you to believe and put God's word on the pinnacle place of your life, that no matter what is occurring, God's word is your foundation. Can I hear an amen? The verse for the year is found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it makes this declaration. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That means no matter what kind of weather it is, no matter whether you're in the middle of a drought, no matter whether there is a tornado going through, your leaf will not wither as long as you are planted by the river of God. And you and I are the seeds of God. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus, and the blood has made us whole. And today we stand here and are growing in God's kingdom as trees planted by the water. You see, this is who you are. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. This is who you are. The seed, we've talked about our time being seed. We've talked about our thoughts being seed. We've talked about the different grounds that the seed gets put into. Now we've been talking about the word of God is the seed. Today I just want to hit this quickly. I'm not going to be long. 2 or 3 hours, we'll be out of here. And I just want to preach real quick because I believe that it's time for the church again to start believing the word of God. The challenge is that most believers don't believe the Bible. We believe the parts that we like. We believe the parts that fit with our theology, personal, our personal philosophy. We believe the parts that fit with our experiences. We believe the parts that fit with our circumstances. But God wants you to grab a hold that his word is above every circumstance, that his word is above every experience, that his word is based on truth. And it's a truth, a solidity that you and I can place our feet upon. That is the rock, Christ Jesus. For Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We must stand firm on his word and not be moved, because if we are moved, the only other system to start living in is the system of this world. The system of this world can never stand firm. Just the other day, a part of the EU, England, Britain, backed out of the EU. There was one man, someone read this to me, one man lost over $3 billion in one night. Billion. That's with a B. $3 billion just in one night he lost. The stock market dropped. And all over the world, the economy was being shattered and shuttered. And people were questioning gold. Prices went up $60 the very first morning. And silver went up. Why? Because people are trying to grab something that's solid. But you and I have something that's solid. It is the word of the living God. It is not some church thought. It is not some religious book. It is not some nice little poetry that has been penned. It is God's word himself speaking to you and I. And we can trust that the word of God is yea and amen. As believers, we've got to get back to believing the word. This is the struggle and the strife that we deal with in the church, because we believe to a point, but then what happens is when trouble comes into our lives, we go back to our old world philosophies and abandon the scripture. This is the trouble. This is the trouble and the striving that we have in our lives. bringing our thought into captivity. The Bible makes a declaration here very quickly. I love this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, which is pneuma. That means supernatural word. While Jesus was speaking, just as this too is in red letter, it's Jesus speaking to you 2,000 years later. The word of God is still speaking. The word is saying, I'm going to speak pneuma to you. I'm going to speak spirit to you. Your spiritual man will be fed by the seed that is called the word of God. And the word of God's seed is always solid. It has programmed in it 100% success. It cannot fail as long as the seed is planted in proper ground. So here we have God, Christ Jesus, making a declaration. He said, listen, the words that I'm going to speak, the scripture I'm going to speak, the declarations I'm going to speak, and I just want to remind you very quickly, Jesus made the statement, I don't say anything that the Father hasn't told me to say. So when we see Christ making declarations, we know that Father God, the King of all the kingdom, is making these true statements, and God will always back up his statements, or God can no longer be God because he's a liar. See, this is where the believer, many of us don't believe that the word of God is true. We struggle because we've come out of this world system and we've based all of our faith in this world system and in our economy and in our government and our education and in our churches. But you can place no other foundation but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There is no other foundation, and Jesus being the word of God, the church has to get back to the truth, and the truth will make you free, that the word of God is the pinnacle principle of God's kingdom, and it's the seed that will set you free, for everything you need is in the seed. Verse 64 makes a declaration, but there are some of you that do not believe. That's the key. Some people say, well, you know, God loves this person more than he loves this person. He's doing more in their life. It's not that. It's not that at all. But what happens is the people that invest the most seed get the greatest harvest. And there are many believers that no longer spend time in the Word. There are so many believers that don't open their Bible except on a Sunday morning, and then they don't open their Bible on a Sunday morning. They hope he put it up on the screen. And the difficulty with that is, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we all got to take a little quick look at ourselves and say, what seeds are we planting most in our lives? If it's seeds to the flesh, then no wonder when hell starts licking our toes that we start caving in, that fear starts to come, that we start to wander, that we start to get into this place of doubt and unbelief. But God is saying that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more words you get in you, the more seeds you plant in the Spirit, the more harvest you're going to have. And baby, take my word for it. Don't wait for trouble to come to start planting. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is where God wants to bring us back to the place of being a believer. This is right out of the mouth of Jesus. He's looking at all these people. And he's saying, the words that I'm going to speak are spirit and life, but there are some that don't believe. And you know, this is the problem. Because what you believe, you receive. When you only believe parts of the Word of God, the parts that fit in your vocabulary, your design, or your philosophical mindset, then when trouble comes in that dimension of your life and you start calling on the name of the Lord, you got no seeds in the ground. You see, God is moved by prayer, but prayer is established on His Word. Settle that one. God is moved by prayer, but prayer is established on the Word of God. So one that has not planted seeds in the Word of God, when trouble starts coming their way, when they start having difficulties in their life, they have no word, they have no seed in the ground, therefore they have no harvest to faith, and therefore they have no activation of the supernatural. There is a necessity to recognize that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, and the faith does not come upon the faith in in a church, the faith in a religion, but it's faith upon the constitution of the kingdom of God. And what God says is truth. What God says is and secured. God says it is not a lie. It is our foundation. So we come to a place of believing or not believing, which either activates or deactivates the very foundation of our life. This is where many believers are. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you do. You love Jesus. It's genuine. You love God. You've made that declaration of prayer and said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. It's genuine. It's real. But you stop planting seeds there. And so now you're living the life. And you know what? I want to remind you that when you get saved, you paint this beautiful little red dot on you. John 10:10, for the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. So, you know, the devil's not after his own people. He's already got them. So when you get saved, there's a little bullseye painted on you. And you got to recognize that if you don't know the word, the enemy of your soul knows your weakness. So all of a sudden, your weakness starts to open up. And the things that you struggle with start to become more real. And yet, you've not planted any seeds. You've not planted the word of God in your life. You've not planted the word in your spirit. So what happens is, now you've got to believe the world system. Now you've got to start believing what the world and your circumstance dictate to you. Now you've got to live according to what everything else says. What the economy says. What the government says. What the church says. What religion says. And I'm here to tell you, I am not governed by a man. I am not governed by a government. I am not governed by a church. I am governed by the word of the living God. For God's word is yea. It is the one that will be everlasting to everlasting. And when everything is said and done, his word will reign true. But you see, not everybody believes that. Pastor, you just don't understand how bad my problem is. How big it is. Pastor, it's big. How can just reading Bible verses help me? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. That's the whole point. It's because the word of God is not natural, it's supernatural. The word of God is not just some pen little words that are on a piece of paper, but Jesus said they are pneuma, they are supernatural, they are spirit, and they are life. The word life there is zoe, which is the God kind of life. So every time the word is opened and we start allowing it to seep into our spirit, man, we start receiving the word of God, even as you're doing right now. You don't need to do anything with it. God is already working it in your life. God is already working faith in your life. God is already working conviction in your life. God is already working belief in your life. God is already working faith in your life. Why? Because you sat there, and as you listen to the word of God, it starts changing you because it's pneuma and life. And you see, we now have an opportunity to either believe or disagree. When we disagree, we disenfranchise ourselves from kingdom blessing. If you're a member, just say you're a member of a country club. And you like what you do there. You have fun with your friends, whether it's golfing, tennis, basketball, just eating. You got a membership. You paid for it. But yet, you don't believe you belong there. You can pay all you want, but if you don't believe you belong there, you're not going. God's word is so valid and so real and so evident and is so applicable to today's realities, even of struggle and strife. But yet so many believe that it's not for them. Their belief system has not been built up. They have not planted seeds. Therefore, they have no harvest. That when trouble comes their way, they have a reservoir. They have a field already ready for harvest. They can go out in that field and say, my God is faithful. My God is ever present. My God, I can climb into the cleft of the rock. My God is my peace. My God is my warrior. My God is my prince. My God is always for me. You see, when you don't have the word, then you only have your mind. And your mind is bent. How many of you know you're crazy? I can prove you're crazy. Given this example so many times, but it's so applicable. You get up, you look in the mirror, getting ready to get in the shower, and you say, You fat thing. You need a diet. So you determine that day you're going to diet. So you start the day off, man. You start it off right. You're doing everything proper. In fact, you even went up and got on your elliptical. You haven't even seen that thing in 3 years. You named it John so you could stay away from it. You get on the elliptical, you go 3.5 minutes. Because now you're having problems standing. You go down and you drink and you take your vitamins and you go to lunch and, man, you make sure you have salad. I hate salad. Eat salad. No soda. No Snickers. How many of you love Snickers? Jesus. I love Kit Kats. Don't bring me any. I'll eat them. Well, that night is a company party, and it's, you know, you got to go to the company party, and you know, you're not going to drink. You don't drink because you're born again. I said you don't drink because you're born again. Well, there's nothing wrong. It's not going to send me to hell, but it might send somebody else. That was free. So the company party night, and all of a sudden you go to the company party, and remember, you've been good all day long because you're that fat thing that looked in the mirror and you saw that you have breastises, and you're a guy. You walk over, and there's the table of the desserts, and someone brings in this beautiful plate of chocolate chip cookies that are still warm. And they come over and they say, listen now, I made these cookies just for you. And they're still hot. I brought milk for you, too. And your mind says, well, you know, if you eat one, you won't die. I don't want to offend them. So you pick up that chocolate chip cookie and that half a glass of milk because you're trying to be conservative. And you put that chocolate chip cookie in your mouth and it starts to dissolve because it's mainly chocolate and so little anything else. You take that glass of milk and you wash it down and it goes down through your tongue, over your palate, down over the back of your throat, your uglia. Goes down your throat, hits your stomach, and your mind says, I told you, you fat thing, you couldn't do it. You might as well eat three more. And so you agree and you eat a half a dozen. You get up the next morning. Look in the mirror, and you got extra breastises. And you realize, you fat thing, you need a diet. And you start all over again. Don't tell me you're in your right mind. You see, the fact is you can't trust your mind. You can't trust your soul. The only thing that has true foundation in our life is the Word of God. It is the foundation. Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock, when the winds come and the storms blow, you will not be destroyed. But when we plant our house on sinking sand, which is the ways of this world, which is the philosophy of your own mind, which is the religion that people try to draw themselves into, and even the fact of being a good church folk. When wind come, man, you got no harvest because you planted no word. You're not spending any time in the word. And then hell starts licking your toes. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have time. You don't have time not to read the word. Because I tell you, at some time in your life, you're going to struggle. At some time in your life, hell is going to try to lick your toes. The devil's going to try to hit that bullseye. Thank God for the shield of faith that wards off every fiery dart of the enemy and the sword of the spirit. But sometimes you're sleeping. And all of a sudden, you get hit. And you got no harvest to go to. You got no word that builds your faith. And you start to spiral. I can't even count how many people have walked away from God. And it's not God. It's not that he's deficient. It's not that he's not able. It's not that he doesn't want to show himself faithful and powerful and supernatural. But Jesus said it so clearly. The words that I speak, they are spirit and life. But guess what? Some of you just don't believe. And when you put no word in you, you cannot believe. You know, I'm just so proud. I've watched people grow in this church, and I've watched people die in this church. We could probably fill this church three times with the amount of people that have walked away from God. I'm not talking gone to a different church. I'm talking walked away from God, no longer go to church. No longer serve the Lord. Could fill it three times. Easy. There's always a differentiation. There's always a deciding factor. There's always a line in the sand. And it's simple. And it's always this. Those people that are faithful to the house of God, faithful to the word of God, faithful to their devotions, faithful to a whether it be rock solid faith or some other class, they are constantly growing. They're constantly seeding. They're seeding the word of God on good ground. And all of a sudden they start getting harvest. Not just one harvest, but you see, as you're a perpetual seeder, you'll be a perpetual harvester. And you're constantly reaping in the faith of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of who God is. Then when trouble comes your way, you have the reservoir. You already have stacks and stacks and stacks of harvest of food and fruit that you have already planted for in the Spirit. Those are the people that when everything breaks loose in their life, they're standing after you've done all you can do to stand there for. When the dust clears, they're still there. It has nothing to do with God loves one more than the other. It has to do with how much you're putting in your life. How much word are you sowing? Can't blame the government. You can't blame anybody. You can't blame the doctor. You can't blame your mother. You can't blame your father. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your pastor. It all gets down to the solidity and the solid factor of our life is, do we believe that the seed of God, the word of God, is truly the words from God? Because if they are truly the words from God, then the only response that we have is to feed, plant, harvest, and then give, for if it is as freely as you've received, freely give. Becomes a lifestyle. And so many struggle with getting into the lifestyle of God because we actually do believe our own philosophy above the word. It's more powerful than the word. You know, I've had people go through hard times. They call me and, you know, we set up counseling sessions and sit down with them. And I'll give them the word. And at that point, they have a choice. Believe or disbelieve. The ones who disbelieve go out and live however they want to live. And then they get mad at God. Where are you, God? I went to the pastor. I prayed. I went to church once this month. God, where are you? Then you have the people that when you give them the word, they actually take God's word and live God's word. Those are the people that transform their lives. I'm going to be 30 years in the ministry next year. 30 years full time. Isn't that crazy? Boy, it goes by fast. And I'm telling you the simple facts. You see, Jesus made it and said it this way. He said it here in the book of Mark. I want to read it to you because I think it's very important. Mark chapter 4, 30 through 32. And Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story can I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest seed of all seeds. It becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can make nests in its shade. Watch this. But pastor, I don't understand why and how God can help me with my problem, let's just say financial, with my financial problem with the Bible. How does that actually work? The Bible says that Jesus made this declaration. If you understand this, you understand how the whole kingdom runs. If you take a mustard seed, you take the seed of God, you take the word of God, and you plant it in good ground. You don't even have to understand how it works. Isn't that what the word says? The Bible says that the kingdom is like a man that takes seeds and he scatters it out, and then he goes to bed. When he gets up in the morning, then he talks about how it has grown, and he said, but he didn't know how it grows. It doesn't matter how it grows. The word always works. The word always works when it's put in good ground and activated by faith. You see, when we know that God's word is true, it is more than just saying, well, that's a nice little thought process, but we start actually believing that God's word, that small little seed, is going to start taking root, and it is going to start growing and maturing, and now it is going to harvest in my life. You see, I don't have too many problems, honestly. I very rarely lose my joy, and the times that I lose my joy is when I vacillate and go back to the world system of understanding rather than stay in the Word of God. The more I stay in the Word of God, the more I can harvest the supernatural principles and therefore remain in peace. But this is where every person makes their own decision. You see, this is easily seen in the scripture. I'm just going to read some verses for you, and then I'll be done here in just a second. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. When you believe it's real, you expect it to work. I used to pray for sick people like this. You ready? Lord, Lord, if it be your will, I pray that you'll heal this person. But if it's not, I pray that you help them through. Do you realize that God will never do a miracle by praying that way? Why? Because his word doesn't say maybe. It says by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. It says that God, he is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. It is his nature, his very character. It is his personality. And it is a continuity from the front of the book to the back of the book. And you see, but when you do not believe, you add doubt into the mixture. When you add doubt into the mixture, it nullifies the scripture. It cancels the supernatural. I've watched people go into trouble, and this is what they do. Well, Pastor, I'm standing on the word. They grab the principles of God's word and they stand on it for a while, and then they don't see the results as quickly as they want. So you know what they do? They go back to what they used to believe. Right on the threshold of their miracle, they abandon the word. Listen, if God's word is fake, let's all stop playing games and let's go home. I'll meet you at Kloop Park. We'll have a barbecue. We'll sing kumbaya songs and not talk about God at all. But if his word is true, then it is time to activate it in your life. It is time to live and be within the word of God. It is time to say, Lord, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody does. I don't care what circumstances come my way. Your word is yea and amen. It is my foundation. It is my thought. It is my belief. And I shall not be moved, no matter what anybody says or does. Listen, when you finally come to that place in your own life, you'll start seeing supernatural answers on a consistent basis. It won't be, oh man, I hope the pastor's on today. It'll be constant, consistent. Because out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you really believe is what you really say. So all of a sudden, you start believing God for a miracle, but then you look and you say, well, I guess it didn't work. Boom! You just destroyed the word of God. You just took it out of your life. It said, I'd rather believe my circumstance above the Bible. It's so powerful. And, you know, I'm one of these kind of guys. I can preach this for, I could honestly preach this one for 2 hours. I can't. We have children's ministry, and every once in a while I do the children's ministry to see how much I love them who are on the other side ministering to over the 100 children. Because they, you know, can you imagine being with children for 2 hours? I have a hard time being with my children, and they're in their 20s. No, I'm just kidding. Do you believe in the Bible? Do you really believe that God's word is true? Now, if you're asking in the aspect of science and proof, can the Bible be proven? It's very easy. I mean, that's not even a difficult. We've done that so many times in this church where I've proven the word of God to you. You have to be an ignorant imbecile to not believe the Bible is truth. You really do. You honestly have to. You have to willfully say, I want to be dumb to not believe in the Bible. No, I'm not kidding. I'll throw out some names. Dr. Greenleaf, one of the founders of Harvard University, proved the resurrection of Christ. If you prove the resurrection, the word of God is true. He wrote a whole dissertation on it. You can jump on it online. It's free. You got Lee Strobel, A Case for Christ. Josh McDowell. All went out to disprove the scripture. All proved it instead. It really takes a person to say, I choose not to believe truth. But what happens is not that. I don't believe that anybody in this room is like that. But what I believe is this, is that when the problem comes, it is so much easier to believe what we used to be and what we used to do than to change our action. Because faith demands action. So you can say you believe in the Bible, but if you don't stay in the Word, you don't stay in the principles of the Word, you don't stay in the gospel, then you really didn't believe it. You just thought it was nice. Today we all have choices. And this was the difficult part. In John chapter 6, where this text is, where I was talking about, John 6:66, my favorite verse in the Bible. John 6:66, the mark of the beast. Jesus made a hard saying, and he said this. In the same text that he said, I'm going to speak spirit and life to you. He said, listen, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. If you're unwilling to do this, you cannot follow me. So all but the 12 thought he was talking about cannibalism. And so the Bible says that everybody left Jesus but the 12. And then he looked at them and said, are you going to go too? And Peter, I love Peter, man. One minute he has his foot down his throat, tickling his gut. And the next minute he's speaking the word of the Lord. He said, where are we going to go? You're the one with the words of eternal life. You see, Peter recognized that Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Peter recognized that Jesus is the word of God, because whatever God said, Jesus said. So the eternal kingdom is run in that demeanor. It's time to recognize that the seed of our lives determine what harvest we have. And if we choose not to seed proper, then we can't be shocked when we harvest horrible experience. So my question is, do you believe in the Bible? Do you really believe the Bible is true? Some of you do and some of you don't. I can prove to you, so I'll just prove the ones that don't. No, I can't do that. I got to behave myself sometimes. All right, I'll do that one. No, I won't do it. Shout, everything I need is in the seed. Shout, everything I need is in the seed. Salvation is in the seed. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he who believes on me has everlasting life. John 6, verse 47. There's deliverance in the word of God. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you are free indeed. There's healing in the word of God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I am the God that healeth thee. There's the healing of the broken heart in the book, in the word of God, the seed of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's peace in the seed of God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. There's joy in the seed of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. He continued, go home and prepare a feast, holiday food and drink, and share with those who don't have anything. This day is holy to God. Don't feel bad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's friendship in the seed of God. Loneliness should be no part of any of our lives, because with God in our relationship, we can remain as a friend of heaven. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, talking about Jesus. There is provision, no matter what financial needs you have, if you are faithful to the kingdom of God, allowing the seed to work in your life. Psalms chapter 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Hallelujah. He is the protector in our lives. The seed releases protection. Psalms 28, verse 7, he proves he's on my side. I've thrown my lot in with him. Now I'm jumping for joy and shouting and singing my thanks to him. God is all strength for his people, ample refuge for his chosen leader. Save your people and bless your heritage. Care for them. Carry them like a good shepherd. And today, if you don't have a daddy, the seed of the word will build you. And the Bible declares in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, you can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent the spirit of his son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Papa, or Abba, Father. Everything you need is in the seed. That's why the devil works so desperately to keep you out of the word. The devil works so desperately to keep you out of church. He works so desperately to keep you out of classes. You think it's just you're busy. I'm telling you, it is a plot and application of Luciferianism that sits back and says, I know if I can extract the seed of the word from their life, then the only harvest they can have is doubt and unbelief. The word is seed. What harvest do you want to have in the future? What harvest do you want to have in the future? Find it in the seed of the word and start planting it in your life. You know, many times I'll end with this. I'll take 50 more seconds. I have found many people that when they get sick, they then start calling out to God. Listen, anybody with intelligence would call out to God. But when we're sick is not when we should be planting. We should be planting way before sickness tries to come into our life, so that when sickness comes, we can say, without just a cliche, by his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I thank God for the doctors. They are doing their best, but I choose to believe the report of the Lord, and I shall not be moved. No matter what the doctor's report says, no matter what anybody declares, I declare the word of the Lord over my life, and I declare that I am healed in Jesus' name. See, that's the difference. Today, God's word is true. God's word is supernatural. God's word is seed. And it has every answer you need. What are you having problems with in your life today? Go to the word. Go to the word. Your answer will be right there. Start speaking it over your life. It's not a magic spell. It's a mustard seed that when it grows, it's big enough not only to support you, but everybody around you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare in this room this morning that this word will not return void. I declare that the devil will not steal it. I declare that it will not fall on dry, dead ground and get stolen. I declare, Father, it will not fall among stony ground, but, Lord, it will fall among good ground. That Jesus, today, this word will actually take root in every one of our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you the right to meddle. We give you the right to pursue. We give you the right to even convict us to a place of repentance. Because we don't want to be survivors. We want to be more than overcomers. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is where you start. You see, you came to this room this morning with seed. What does the Bible declare? That we all have a measure of faith. But as I've been preaching for the last 35 minutes,
Your faith level has risen because seed has been deposited, life and spirit in you. Now you have every draw from the Holy Ghost to confess your sins and to be saved, to be able to call a child of God. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit to draw in the lost. Today, if you need Christ, I would like you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to introduce to you the very best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to be a child of God, to live in victory of His Word. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to receive Jesus as their Savior? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate that. Very proud of you both. Last call. Anyone else? 1. Let's all stand to our feet. This is one of those kind of messages that I get very passionate about. Because if the word isn't true, I'm wasting my time. And so are you. But if the word is true, we are going to change this planet, every seed that we plant. Every seed in our life will transform the environment around us because we are children of God. Amen? I said amen. Are you tired today? Are you hot today? Today, I just believe. And I challenge you to believe like you've never believed before. Take God at His word. He will always stand behind it. Amen. Father, I declare in this house that, Lord, no weapon formed against us shall prosper because the seed of the word says so. I declare that no sickness befalls our house because the seed of the word says so. I declare, God, that we have victory because the seed of the word declares so. I declare that we are soul winners because the seed of the word declares so. I declare that we are more than overcomers because the seed of the word declares so. Father, I declare that we will have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes our understanding because the seed of the word says so. I declare it, decree it over your children. And as they believe it and receive it, it is activated now. And that seed will grow because it is the word of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's going to be around the front of the altar. If I could have the two young men, just meet me right up here, man. Right now. Come on up here, man. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. You're going to get set free. Your life is going to be changed forever. Come on, give them a hand clap. God's going to set them free. I'm very proud of you, man.